So Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the Bhagavad Gita 10:11 is said, Tesham evan nukam partam aham agno jam tamaham nashayam yatma bhavasto jnana dipena bhavasvatam. For a devotee who has taken the lotus feet of the Lord within his heart, the Lord gives spiritual enlightenment, known as jnanadipa. It's interesting, jnanadipa, so like a lamp, shining lamp in the heart. By special mercy from within, this jnanadipa is compared to the fire hidden within Arani wood. I suppose that's wood that's used for jagnas. To perform fire sacrifices, great sages previously did not ignite a fire directly. The fire would be invoked from Arani wood by mantra. So, generally people are brainwashed or brain polluted, as the case may be, into believing that we now have the highest technology in the history of the planet. Rubbish. This is unknown technology. They can't do it. Scientists can't do it. Philosophers can't do it. Nowadays, even Brahmins can't do it, because they're not real Brahmins. Like in the city of Mumbai, there are probably thousands of so-called Brahmin priests, but what are they doing? You know, what is their quality? And some of them not even vegetarian. This is going on. Some of them are drinking wine, and some of them using the proceeds from their jagnas and pujas, not to serve the deity, but to buy bidis. So this is Kali Yuga. This is going on. That this kind of low-grade situation will happen in Kali Yuga only. But previously, Brahmins had purity. They were situated in Sanatan Dharma, but now the whole situation has become fallen. So there's hardly any pure Brahmins outside of the Vaishnavas. And we see that even amongst the Vaishnavas, it's a challenge. As, for example, there are so many householders who have taken initiation even, who are Grihamati, pious materialists. Maybe they don't drink wine, they certainly don't eat meat, they don't smoke cigarettes, and they don't engage in illicit sex. But they really like the widescreen Samsung TV. They like that. So that is not Grihastra. Okay, if you occasionally watch it, you play Krishna conscious videos on it, fine. But if it's just for your sense gratification, I'm sorry. That's not Grihastra. That's Grihamedi. When Prabhupada was physically on the planet, none of his disciples watched television. None. Do you get that? If somebody were discovered to be watching television, they'd be treated like a leper, shunned. But it didn't have to happen because, you know, the devotees did not do it. Of course, there was no Samsung widescreen available. Televisions were rather primitive in comparison, but still television was there. In the 1970s, devotees did not watch television. Similarly, especially initiated devotees wouldn't be caught dead wearing street clothes. But now it's no big deal. Initiated devotees come into the temple room to see Radha Rasa Bihari wearing street clothes. Of course, here we see almost all the men are dressed in dhoti and kurta. Very good. This is first class. Haribao! Come on. Jeev Jago. Haribao! Again, Haribao. Because it pleases Prabhupada. It pleases Krishna. Srila Prabhupada is 100% present here. He does not require a material body to function fully in his own society. A material body is not required. I have to tell you an important narration centered around this temple. Some time ago, there was an elderly lady who was suffering from terminal cancer. Fortunately for her, her family were devotees. It was clear she was going to die. So since they were devotees, they took her to Vrindavan. And they went on full pikram of Sri Vrindavan Dham to all the holy ghats and all the sacred places, everything. Full and complete pikram of Sri Vrindavan Dham. And for some reason they brought her back. They didn't, you know, leave her in Vrindavan. She came back. They brought her back. Family brought her back. And then she left her body in Mumbai. So her sister was from South India somewhere, some village of South India. Her sister came up to Mumbai for the memorial services. So she came here to this temple. And then she came over and offered her pranams to Srila Prabhupada, and she was struck with wonder. She said, "I saw him. He came to me in a dream." He said, "Don't worry about your sister anymore. She is under my protection now." Hari Bol. Much louder. Hari Bol. She was not even initiated. But because of her relatives were devotees, therefore she got the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Try to understand. The mercy of Srila Prabhupada is not some creeping a thing, hard to get. No. He is in the mood of Nityananda Prabhu. Unconditional love, that's Prabhupada. Unconditional love. Doesn't matter if you're a yellow boy. You're getting the mercy of Srila Prabhupada. Of course, you have to stick with Prabhupada's program, whether inside or outside the temple. The problem is, people outside the temple, they don't stick, many of them, don't stick with Srila Prabhupada's program. They don't get up early. Many householders don't get up till 6 o'clock in the morning. That's late. You may think, well, 6 o'clock's not bad. No. Should I tell you something really shocking? I know, you know, it's tough for householders, but should I tell you anyways? I'm not saying it's easy. Should I say or not say? It's a bit stark. You know this word stark? It's a bit harsh. But it's Prabhupada. He said, if anyone even pretends to be a devotee of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, they must rise by 4 o'clock in the morning. Uh-oh. It's not me. It's not the Swami. Don't hold me responsible. I'm just repeating what Founder Acharya said. So don't throw rotten tomatoes at me if you're a householder, I see some people are watching through the video. I suppose that's broadcast, right? Broadcast? Yes, no? So, those householders who are hearing this class, please don't throw rotten tomatoes and eggs at me, because it's not my fault. It's ISKCON Founder Acharya. This is what's known as a reality check. So, okay, spiritual life means to rise early in the morning. Then we try to chant best we can. Then we honor Srila Prabhupada. This, of course, can be done at home also. Every householder should have a Prabhupada murti. You know, not just a lamination, a murti. If they can find a nice one, some of the brass ones are not very nice. Some of the brass Prabhupada murtis are not made properly. Prabhupada is looking excessively stern or too grave or crippled or whatever. Some things, you know, some of the smaller brass murtis are not very good. But the resin murtis are nicer. The resin means the plastic murtis are nicer. They're also available, the small ones. They're available from Ujjain Temple. They have got the molds there, and they spread them around the world. Theirs are better, nicer. presentation of Srila Prabhupada than the brasa. Many of the brass Prabhupadas are not very nice. They're not done properly. They're not showing Prabhupada's mood. Now, of course, the big murti on the other hand is showing Prabhupada's mood of intense meditation on the deities. Wherever these murtis are placed, he's meditating intensely on the Sri Radha and Krishna. You see. So this is necessary. And householders, they must have their own mini program. All right, the man has to go off to work. Maybe he has to go to work at 8 o'clock. Maybe he has to leave for work at 8 o'clock in the morning. But they should have a mini program, just like at the base centers. They have an abbreviated program. Householders, they should do like that. They should follow the example of the base programs. An abbreviated program. All right, they're short on time. The man gets up at 6 o'clock and goes to work at 8 and grabs, you know, a piece of toast for breakfast. You know, the non-devotees, they just grab a donut and some coffee and run out the door, but devotees are presumably not doing that, you know. They are taking a short version of breakfast and run out the door because they don't want to be late for work. Well, that's the way it is, you know, and also life these days. Of course, that's not what Prabhupada wanted. It's a lengthy subject matter, but Prabhupada wanted full Varnashram Dharma. That his disciples and future generations of devotees should be able to work according to Brahminical standards as much as possible. But unfortunately, we did not establish Daivya Varnashram. That means that we are supposed to have at least 500 fully self-sufficient farm communities, with each farm having a capacity of serving 500 or 800 congregation members, with large numbers of cows producing plenty of first-class milk and ghee, where you don't have to worry about whether it's contaminated by buffalo ghee or pig fat. These wretched cheaters put everything in the ghee these days. There's no place in hell good enough for them. Who will contaminate the ghee and sell it as pure desi ghee, but contaminated? They're going to scream and shout as they're tortured by the Yamarudas for thousands of years. The sinful reaction is very severe. How can the Brahmins use contaminated ghee for pujas and jagnas? But it's very difficult to find pure ghee these days. And if you can find it, it's very, very costly. Anyway, Srila Prabhupada introduced Grihastha life. But he wanted, by now, what Prabhupada wants, present tense, not just past tense. We should meditate on Srila Prabhupada in the present tense, not in the past tense. In the present tense, Siddha, what does he want now? 500 farms, minimum, with each farm community fully 100% self-sufficient, not dependent on petrol. This is madness. We don't know when the petrol supply will be sabotaged by terrorists. Can you guarantee? Can you guarantee? They could sabotage very easily. Or other problems, or just plain running out. The scientists, you know, 50 years ago, they said that the planet was going to run out of oil in 50 years. They said that 50 years ago. Well, that means we're on borrowed time now, isn't it? Yes, no? We're on borrowed time. It's running out. Well, the only reason we have still petrol, they've discovered some ways of squeezing oil out of shale. Shale is a type of rock. They've discovered some technology for squeezing oil out of that rock called shale. So that's extended the life expectancy of oil on the planet to some degree. But generally, it's running out. I mean, I come from California, USA, for example, and millions and millions of gallons of oil they've pumped out of the ground, you know. And so in various places in oil country all over the state, not all over the state, but in many places there are dead oil wells. They, you know, like a sadhu offering, dhanabats, you know, up, down, you know, they go up, they have a wheel, goes around and around, and a plunger goes up and down, and pumps oil out of the ground, looks like sadhu offering obeisances, you know. Unfortunately, it's not pious, you know. There's a lot of dead oil machines just sitting around that don't even bother taking them down, because the supply has run out at that location. So, therefore, we should try to take proper instruction as all in all. We have a handful of farms in our propaganda. We brag about farm communities, but sure, you know what we got. 50 cows that can support 50 devotees, 60 devotees, maybe. You know, here in Mumbai, you've got one devotee who is very, very supportive of self-sufficient farming and cows, Gajanan Agarwal. He's very committed to cow protection. He's sponsoring several projects involving cow protection. So that's required. Still, we have to develop hundreds of farms, because what's going to happen when the cities begin to wind down? You know, they're not permanent. They won't last. When I asked Srila Prabhupada, and Srimad Bhagavatam says that, and the Bhagavad Gita says rather, that, well, it's in the Bhagavatam also, that prosperity is created only by Jagna. And in Bhagavad Gita specifically, Anad Bhavanti Bhutani, that grains are produced by sacrifice. What I said to Srila Prabhupada, I didn't quote the verse, but he knew what I was talking about. But there's no jagna going on, Srila Prabhupada. There's no jagna. What is going to? What is sustaining all this prosperity? You go into an American supermarket, you wouldn't believe it. Except for the meat department, it's like a heavenly planet. Any kind of jams and jellies from all over the world, real, not fake. In India, unfortunately, it's hard to find real jam. It's all synthetic, mostly. You can buy it for a high premium, but mostly synthetic. But in America, you can pay some bucks and get real jam made with real fruit. Box cereals, canned goods, rows and rows of canned goods, fresh produce that is perfect. In America, they have the system, if you buy some produce from the grocery store, from the big grocery chains, if you're not satisfied, you can take it back and exchange it or get a refund. I don't think such a thing will ever happen in India, you know. Anyways, so much vast produce, they import a lot of it. And so many juices and everything, you know, that's why it's like a heavenly planet. So I said to Srila Prabhupada, so what is, I didn't mention supermarkets, but he knew what I was talking about. I said, but there's no jagna to support all of this. What is sustaining it? There's no jagna. So Prabhupada gave me a very ominous answer. The English word ominous means the same as foreboding, that means dark. Sinister is another English word. Very dark, serious answer, spelling out inauspiciousness. This is the meaning of these English words. Foreboding, inauspicious, dark. Something bad coming, like with the sages at Naimisharanya, they could see what was coming in Kali Yuga. They could see McDonald's. Do you believe that? You don't believe it. You don't believe that the sages at Naimisharanya could see McDonald's? That stretches your poor puppy brain too far. How many of you believe the sages at Naimisharanya could foresee McDonald's? One man. They foresaw animal slaughter, but that animal slaughter means McDonald's. Everything. You don't understand. You have notebooks, write it down. Tree, kala, yeah. Write it down. Tree means three, like tripod. Like this camera is on a tripod. Tree, kala means time. Gyan means who knows. Past, present, and future. Tri Kala Gyan. See, the Prabhupada was Tri Kala Gyan. He knew past, present, and future. Anyways, to finish what Prabhupada told me about this prosperity, he said, it will not last. Very soon, it will be finished. You young guys, hate to say it, but I'm just breaking the news to you. It's only a matter of time. No more mobile phones. No more laptop computers.
Oh no! No more mobile phones! Oh, I cannot live without a mobile phone.
Well, in the 1960s, there weren't any mobile phones, and devotees were chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama. They were dancing in the streets very nicely, without mobile phones. Krishna consciousness will go on, without technology, modern technology. It will go on, but it's going to be a different world when the petrol finally runs out. And all these things are dependent on petrol. The electricity is dependent on petrol. Not just the automobiles, everything. Computer manufacturing is dependent on petrol. Mobile phones are dependent on petrol. You can't manufacture these things without petrol. It's not possible. Well, maybe it's possible, but they haven't discovered how to do it. So doomed. All this technological sense gratification, especially the younger generation, take it for granted. Doomed. Finished. Sometime, I don't know when, see? I can't say when. But Prabhupada said to me, very soon it will be finished. I was so struck, like I was struck with by a thunderbolt by Prabhupada's statement, was so heavy. I was caught off guard, you know, I wasn't expecting an answer like that. Well, I was so stunned by his answer, I didn't have the presence of mind to say, but Srila Prabhupada, what does very soon mean? I mean, his Mahabhagavat situated in eternal time, situated in Krishna Prem. I mean, very soon his time is not the same as very soon our time, because he's situated in eternity. Well, I asked him this question sometime in the 1970s, so maybe it was 35, 40 years ago I asked him this question. So 40 years was not exactly within the very soon category, but you guys who are into the net, which you are, you can look up, you know, the predictions for petrol supply on the planet. This is good for preaching, not just for sense gratification. Look it up. The predictions for the petrol supply on the planet are very bleak, bleak. Bleak means very demonstrating it's not going to last very long, no matter how creative they get by squeezing oil out of shale, no matter how creative they get, it's not going to last. And then the whole modern civilization collapses because it's all dependent on oil, you know, to run all the machines. So, we have to make it a goal. Those of that are younger, you should try to become a leader, become more and more responsible, and help this movement catch up the 45 years that we lost by not developing self-sufficient farm communities. Now, the way the Prabhupada put it was, you can't eat nuts and bolts. That was his assessment of modern technology. You can't eat nuts and bolts. Well, if Prabhupada were physically unapprented, he'd have to upgrade and say, you can't eat mobile phones. You can't eat laptop computers. Of course, if such gadgets were presented to Srila Prabhupada, he would have been interested. He liked gadgets, providing they could be used properly in Krishna's service. He liked. I was a new devotee in 1969. I took initiation in 1968. So, after I first met Srila Prabhupada, after I first saw him, I became so inspired just by seeing Prabhupada that I thought, oh, I must try to introduce Prabhupada to the world. He wasn't even called Prabhupada yet, he was called Swamiji. So I thought, I must help introduce my Guru Maharaj to the world. So what can I do? I thought, what can I do? Well, I thought, well, I could make a recording of an interview. I'll interview him and make it a recording. And then I thought, so I called up, there's an alternative radio station in the San Francisco Bay Area. They play classical music and they have intellectual programs on current politics, usually a Western, I mean left persuasion, more on the so-called liberal side. And of course, these days we don't trust the liberal at all because they're in favor of liberals these days are in favor of homosexuality, same-sex marriage, it's out of control. You know, so we're not proponents of liberality exactly. But Mahatma means liberal, well, real liberality, yes, but not fake, not corrupted, polluted liberality, never. So, but there was this liberal alternative radio station. They would play cultural programs. It was a subscription service. They didn't run advertisements. Subscription service catering to intellectuals. So I thought, well, they might be interested in the Swami. So I called them up. I said, you know, there's a charismatic Swami in town from India, and he has a lot of very interesting things to say. If I make a recording and bring it down to you, will you play it? They said, sure. So I was thrilled. I'm a new devotee, initiated only 1 year, and the radio station says, sure, we'll play the interview with the Swami. So I thought, well, what am I going to ask, you know? Then as the moment for the interview started to arrive, I got a little nervous because I'm going to interview my Guru Maharaj and, you know, I'm a neophyte, and so I was a little nervous. So I consulted with my friend who was Srila Prabhupada's personal secretary. I had been friends with him before joining the movement. I was friends with this devotee who was Prabhupada in the early days, very confidential. Upendra is his name, was his name. He left this world, unfortunately. Upendra. And very, very dear to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada gave him his watch. He didn't give his such personal belongings to everybody, but to Upendra he gave his watch. So I said, Upendra, I have got this interview coming up with Srila Prabhupada and I'm a little nervous, you know. He said, don't worry, Swamiji will do most of the talking. So I felt some relief. Okay, that sounds good. So then finally, I thought, well, what will I ask? So I had three questions formulated for 45 minutes or an hour interview. So first question, I don't remember the other questions, but I remember that I asked Prabhupada, he was called Swamiji, he wasn't called Prabhupada yet. Swamiji, there are so many editions of Bhagavad Gita in English already available, why you have made another translation? It's an important question. And he explained, and Upendra was right, he spoke for 20 or 25 minutes straight. I didn't have to say anything. I just asked the question, and he said the rest. So, basically he was saying, because, you know, no one has properly presented Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So many theories, so many imposters, so many impersonalists and all that. Not presenting Bhagavad Gita, therefore I have called it Bhagavad Gita as it is. Presenting the unpolluted, undiluted message of Krishna. So he spoke like that in answer to my question. So we should try to go for this. Following in the footsteps of advanced souls or transcendental. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Brahma-bhuta prasanatma na sochiti na kanchiti. So this Brahma-bhuta platform is quite serious, actually. It means above the material modes. But is that easy? Not exactly. As soon as you overeat, oversleep, even if you're a devotee, or if you deviate with television watching, what is television? Watching other people's sinful activities, isn't it? All right, fine. Maybe you're living a life primarily in goodness. You don't, supposing householders, most devotee householders, they don't drink liquor. They don't eat meat. And they're not cheating on their wife. Well, then why do they take pleasure in watching these things? What are they watching? Fornicators. Women with low-cut dresses embracing some handsome young men. And they like it. You say, Maharaj, really, come on now, you're being too hard. Really? Then how come they watch? There's a professional psychological term, vicarious. Vicarious means you experience through others. You follow? You experience, all right, you're not sinful. At least you're living a life that is primarily in the mode of goodness. You follow the regular principles, but you're enjoying through others. They're meat eating. Well, you don't eat meat, but you're watching them, they're eating meat. Not every single scene on television are vegetarians. Certainly not. And certainly on television, liquor drinking is very, very common. Unless you show liquor drinking, then how is the film in touch with modern society? People would say, well, it was an okay movie, but it really had nothing to do with modern life. Yes, modern life, that's the problem. Eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that's modern life. Drinking liquor, illicit sex. They don't show gambling very much. Gambling is not a very big concern, except the stock market. There are films that show the stock market. And the stock market is certainly gambling. Even some devotees have invested in the stock market and lost hundreds of thousands of dollars or crores of rupees by investing bad investment on the stock market. It is gambling. So gambling is also there. Gambling, meat eating, illicit sex, wine drinking, cigarette smoking. All right, so you don't smoke cigarettes. You don't smoke cigarettes. And why are you watching? I'm talking to the householders. I know yellow boys don't watch television. unless it's a special devotional self-improvement program, then devotees will watch ISKCON produced self-improvement programs, and maybe it's on a television screen, PowerPoint presentations. That's different. That's in relationship to self-improvement towards pure devotional service. Completely different league, different category, not watching fornication. You understand? A modern society is all about how to break the regulated principles in style. I mean, just look at the hoarding boards, you know. They show, you know, buy this apartment and your eating, sleeping, and mating, defending will get better. Isn't it? Yes, no, maybe. The advertisement, the hoarding boards, although coming into Mumbai, especially in Pune as a development area, I just came from Pune. And so there are hundreds and hundreds of hoarding boards advertising new high-rise apartments. You know, buy our apartment before it's too late. You know, it's called the takeaway clause. Buy our apartment before it's too late. Oh, we have got the most best place. We got a view. We have a view of a golf course. That's a big deal, you know. They don't tell you that next to the golf course is a slum that you can see from your high-rise apartment also, but they don't tell you that. These things are going on, duplicity. You know, and it's all about how to increase your sense gratification. Nothing about the purpose of human life, nothing. So, we should beware of these things. And as far as following the Vedas is pointed out here, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says to Arjuna, the Vedas deal primarily with the modes of material nature. Rise above them, O Arjuna. Yes? No? Maybe? Krishna's warning Arjuna, the Vedas deal primarily with the modes of material nature. The Vedas are basically a how to do it, vast, unlimited, how to do it manual encyclopedia. You want to go to the heavens, manas, do this, puja, do jagna. You want to do this, you want to get a good wife, you do this, puja. These instructions are given. Then not only that, but engineering is given also. Do you know that? How many of you are engineers? Yeah, so do you know that the Veda is also giving engineering? Do you know that? No. But you need to know this so you will get deprogrammed from the fake or deviant conception that this is the greatest technology we've ever had today. Lies. Fraud. It's not true. If they could come up with the technology of 5,000 years ago that was used in the Battle of Kurukshetra, for example, the modern military would be, the English word is elated. Elated means extremely happy. Thrilled. If they could come up with even a portion of the technology utilized at the Battle of Kurukshetra of atomic weapons. Their modern atomic weapons, they are very proud of them, missiles and this and that. I mean, India, Pakistan has about 80 nuclear missiles aimed at India. Yes. You can look it on the net. About 80 nuclear missiles. Don't worry. India has 90 nuclear warheads aimed at Pakistan. It's fine. Peace, love, brother. You know. I think that the best of the Indian nuclear missiles called Agni, the best of the Pakistani nuclear weapon is named after one of the worst butchers that killed the most hundreds of thousands of Hindus. Their best missiles named after this demon. Anyways, that technology is very primitive. We have to consider the technology of Ashwatthama through the Brahmastra into the womb of Uttama, the mother of Maharaj Parikshit. And it was surgery. It was meant to kill the embryo in the womb without harming the mother. Well, they don't have that technology to use a nuclear device, you see, so fine that you could kill an embryo in the womb and not harm the mother. They can name different things, they can try different things, but no. So Krishna says, the Vedas deal primarily with the modes of material nature. Rise above them, O Arjuna. Krishna also refers to the flowery words of the Vedas. And here it's clearly pointed out, those who are advanced in spiritual knowledge are not subject to the regulative principles directed in the Vedic literature. Hundreds of thousands of rules and regulations. Many thousands of rules and regulations. Srila Prabhupada told us, if you knew all the rules and regulations, you would faint. So he said, chant 16 rounds, follow regular principles, rise early in the morning, eating only Krishna Prasad, observe Ekadasi. And you know, we couldn't do any better than that, hardly, you see? Anything on top of that is frosting on the cake, you know. So, we're not followers of the Vedas, really, we're followers of Acharya. We are known as Rupanugas, followers of Srila Rupa Goswami. Prabhupada was manifest pastimes, first class follower of Srila Rupa Goswami. So we are following in this way beyond the Vedas, beyond the modes of material nature. So that is meant to be pure devotional service. Anya vidasata sanyam gyana kamari anavrata. Anokliyena Krishna Anodam Bhakti Uttamam. Uttamam is ultimate, is pure devotion service above the modes of material nature very specifically. So we are meant to follow on that path. And then Krishna may appear within the heart, and he will give dictation. When one takes Krishna in the heart, then he's going to see Chaitanya Guru, he gives dictation from within the heart. If one takes seriously the lotus feet of Krishna, who is seated within one's heart, the Lord eradicates. Eradicates means wipes out all ignorance. By following Acharya, by following Prabhupada specifically and his representative, bona fide representative, wipes out ignorance. By the torch of knowledge, that's Oma Gina Timinindasya Gina Gina Shalagara. Taksuan Miridam Gina Tasma Sri Gurudama. By the torch of knowledge, one immediately understands everything properly by the special mercy of Supreme Lord and becomes self-realized. Well, that's a long subject that I can't address in 1 minute. Who is a self-realized soul? Generally, we presume self-realized soul means Mahabhagavad, who is seeing Krishna face to face, who is always receiving dictation directly from Krishna, who is infallible, does not make mistake. We may presume like that, but self-realized in another sense, everyone sitting here today is also self-realized in the lower sense. Because we know what is the self. Anyone who knows the self knows what is bhakti yoga, knows what is bhakti marg, knows what is the path of self-realization, know who is the Supreme Personality of God. That person also may be called self-realized, but low level. In the beginning, low level. And higher level means Mahabhagavat Uttamadhikari. There's a scale. You know, so everyone who hears from Srila Prabhupada, either directly or through representatives, they're also self-realized if they're at all serious. If they're full of nonsense, then they're not self-realized because they're hanging on, committing the 10th offense against the Holy Name. That is, maintaining material attachment even after so much instruction on the matter, 10th offense, granti, not in the heart. So those persons are not transcendental. But by the torch of knowledge, One immediately understands everything properly by the mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead and becomes self-realized in the sense I just described. In other words, although the devotee may externally not be very well educated, see, it's not required, PhD, not required, because of his devotional service, the Supreme Personality of Godhead gives him enlightenment from within. If the Lord gives enlightenment from within, how can one be in ignorance? Therefore, the allegation of the Mayavadis or impersonalists that devotional path is for unintelligent or uneducated is untrue. So, if one becomes an unalloyed devotee, then they are such a devotee who's above the most instructed of the Vedas, and that person is called Paramahansa. Even without going through the Vedic literature, a devotee becomes pure and enlightened by the mercy of the Lord. Therefore, my Lord, the devotee says, I offer my respected Vedas unto you. So, this is the path that has been given to us by Srila Prabhupada, path of pure devotional service. We may struggle to attain it, but at least it has to be a goal. That's the bottom line. Any questions? Comments? Yes, Prabhu.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for the enlightening class. My question is that we have many devotees, youth and householder, which are neophyte and live outside the temple. So such devotees...
Outside the temple, yes.
Devotees, they are not much... they don't get much guidance. So in that time, it is very difficult to control the urge or habit of watching television or other things which are unfavorable for devotional service. So how they can control this urge and move towards devotional service more seriously?
Those living outside the temple, how can they become Krishna conscious? Basically, there's so much distraction. I've already explained, the primary distraction is television. But then you have got relatives. And unfortunately, many devotees are stuck with demoniac relatives who are opposed to Krishna consciousness, so you have to work around that. At least you have to fuel yourself, with adequate hearing and chanting. If you have relatives that are demoniac, then maybe you can't escape dealing with them. You avoid them as much as possible, but sometimes house owners have to go to family events. They can't. They will create a black name for Krishna consciousness if they don't go to the family event. You know, like Indian weddings take minimum 6 months of affluent families, 6 months. Wedding meetings for 6 months, a real drain. And one brahmachari family was harassing him because he refused to go to the wedding meetings. So I said, Prabhu, you have to go to at least some of them because it's anti-preaching, you know, what you're doing is they're just hating ISKCON and hating Krishna because you're not going to their wedding. That wedding failed. Later there was divorce. So no reality. So I've already explained, actually. I already answered your question. At home, there should be deity worship by the husband as well as the wife. The husband coming home from work should not remain in his meat eater's clothing. Should not. Should take a shower, change into Vaishnav dress and put on tilak. But the majority are not doing. To be honest, they're too lazy. It's not within their comfort zone. Their comfort zone is to stay in the clothing of meat eaters. Well, how are you going to become Krishna conscious? You're attached to the clothing of meat eaters. How are you going to stay Krishna conscious? You won't. You're identifying with the body. I am Indian. I am American. I am European. I am this. I am that. I'm anything but a devotee. See? Those who identify with being a devotee, they will wear a Vaishnava dress. At least at home, at least to the temple, certainly. So Vaishnav dress, family should sit down, hear and chant together, kirtan together. Evening when the husband comes home from work, after dinner they should sit down and not watch television. They should sit down and hold kirtan together. and read some shastra together, chant a chapter of Bhagavad Gita together. Why not? They're not doing this. Very rare. Sudralabha, very rare. Hardly any are doing like this. They take the easy way out. That's tamagun. That's not sattvagun. They opt for tamagun. Free will. Fine. If that's what you want, that's what you get. Ye tamam prapadyante tam sadeva bhajame ham. All of them, as they surrender unto me, I reward accordingly. You want a materialistic, you want a grihamedi way of life while putting your hand in a bead bag? Okay. It's fine. Are you going to attain rapidly the lotus feet of the Krishna that way? No. So whatever you want, Krishna fulfills. You want all this material rubbish? Okay, fine. But you're not going to get Krishna high speed that way. You'll be very, very lucky if you can remember Krishna at the time of death. Very lucky. You see, because of bad habits. The sadhana program is designed by the acharyas to wipe out our bad habits so that at the time of death we only remember Krishna. But if you're remembering your favorite movie star, I mean, let me give you the evidence, you know, I've seen that on Facebook. I've seen on the picture that devotee puts on the Facebook with Vaishnav Tilak and maybe dressed with Harinam Chatter and looking very first class. Oh, a nice devotee. Okay, let's see. What's on the timeline? Open up the timeline. Look on the timeline. What's your favorite film? Film produced by the Meat Eaters. What's your favorite song? Some rock and roll song. What happened? It's called duality. And then you see that their timeline is full of their non-devotee friends. Put on their, I learned that, okay, I'm not going to put this person on my Facebook account unless I check the timeline to see what is their real way of life, not their pretend way of life. Even if it's a good pretend way of life, but come on. I don't want to see all their karmic friends and hear about all their pajalpa of their karmic friends talking about this thing and that thing and everything except Krishna. But they're putting all their karmic friends on Facebook. You understand duality. Sometimes initiated, many times, not sometimes. Many times initiated devotees also. Many times very, very senior devotees also. But their life is full of rubbish. Unfortunately. But maybe they have some love for Baba in their heart, maybe. So, turn off the television, rise early in the morning, chant in the early morning hours. If you can't, then at least in the evening after the sunset is the second best choice. Get out of the non-devotee dress, play always bhajan. We recommend 24 hours a day, MP3 player playing for the deities in such a way you can hear it. You know, but asatsanga, association with non-devotees, that is poison. But, okay, you can't avoid it. Relatives are always, you know, pushing themselves on you and trying to tell you how to run your life. Boy, one thing is you have to create perimeters. All of your aunties, cousins, sisters, niece will tell you how to run your life. That's Indian culture. It's not so much like that in America. Indian culture is that, you know, every relative reserves the right to tell the embattled devotee how to run their life. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. My dear cousin, I appreciate that you care for me, but please respect my choices in life. That's a power phrase. You haven't said anything about Krishna. The power phrase is, write it down. Write it down. Please respect my choices in life. That's called perimeter. I didn't say that you have to take up my way of life. That's not true, but we're not going to push it down their throat. Well, what is the use? Because one of the offenses against the holy name is to preach to the non-devotees. The glories of the holy name, preaching to the non-devotees is aparad. You can't do it. But at least, you know, respect the choices I've made in my life. You haven't said anything about Krishna, so they won't blaspheme Krishna. Just respect the choices I've made in my life. That's all. It works for me. You know, if I didn't have the spiritual life that I have, I would become so depressed that I wouldn't be able to carry out my job. Is that what you want? Oh, no, 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 keep the bucks rolling in. No, 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 no. You understand? You can threaten them through goodwill. You want me to collapse? You want me to become so depressed I can't work at my job? Is that what you want? Oh, no, 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 no. Well, then, please respect my spiritual life and my choices. Checkmate. See? Spiritual life is what I need to be able to think straight, what I need for proper intelligence to carry out my duties at work. Oh. Okay. You see what I'm saying? You have to defeat them. I didn't say anything about Krishna. I'm talking about values. Speak about pure values. You see? If you don't do that, you go down. You get polluted because you don't have the guts to defend your right to choose spiritual and dharmic values. If you don't defend that, you go down. Plain and simple. You see? So make those perimeters. Anything else? All right. So we'll stop there. Jagadguru Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Kanada Shima Bhagavatam ki jai. Shishi Radha Rasa Bihari ki jai. Shishita Ram Lakshman Hanuman ji jai. Nita Gopa Manandi Hari Hari Bolo.